sin need to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we humble ourselves before you today in respect to your word, understanding that your greatest weakness, if there even were one, is still more powerful than our greatest strength. Your most foolish thought, if you even had one, is still wiser than our greatest intelligence. We understand that you are holy. You're sinners. Outside of the message of the cross and the Christ who was crucified, buried, and resurrected, we would have no hope as sinners of being made right with a holy God. But because you have died and been buried and raised again, we know belong to you. You beckon us. Whosoever will may come. Many of us have already complied. We have received you into our heart as Savior and Lord. We have become the children of God, adopted, twice born into his family. Father, we're so grateful for your mercy. We're so grateful for your grace. Help us to be instruments of that grace, speakers of that truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The message of the cross, Paul says, time and time again, he mentions it in this passage. And that is our message. It's not our message to rally around any particular political platform. It's not our message to rally around any denominational stance. It is our message to stand firm and stand fast at the cross of Christ and continue to speak that message, continue to stand in that message, and continue to speak that message to everyone that will listen. Whether they adhere or whether they don't. Our message may be the message of Ezekiel, where God says to him, Son of man, proclaim this message, yet they will not listen place and to tell you my opinion over anything. I don't have the right to tell you my opinion about a ball game. I don't really have the right to tell you my opinion about a Supreme Court decision. I don't have my right to tell you my opinion about taxes. I don't have the right to tell you my opinion about whatever. It's the message of the cross that not only infiltrates what we do, it consumes what we do. It consumes it. It's not simply a part of it. Everything is enveloped. Everything is entrenched with the message of the cross. So I want to tell you these two things today. When it comes to preaching, and whether that is, and we'll talk about this a little bit more tonight, whether it is public preaching like this, or whether it's you simply telling your neighbor the gospel of Christ. Number one, we preach from revelation. We preach from the revelation of God. And I'm not simply referring to the one book that's referred to as the revelation of Jesus Christ, but this book, the Bible. This is the revelation of God. This is how you know that He is. This is how you know who He is. This is how you know what He has done. This is how you know what He promises to do. This is how you know that you can belong to Him. This is how you know Him, period. Amen. This is the revelation of God, and it is from that we preach. Listen, we will get ourselves in a whole heap of trouble when we begin to get away from the Scriptures. When we begin to get away thinking maybe there's something wrong with them, when we get away from them because we think maybe they have become aged or ancient or they just don't fit into our culture today. It is not the Scripture's responsibility to fit into our culture. It is our responsibility as shapers of the culture to shape the culture around the Word. And so we faithfully, often, must preach the message of the cross. Let me identify that for you. Number one, you need to know that the message of the cross is good news. The message of the cross is good news. He tells us in verse 18 that He is there to preach the message of the cross. But in verse 17, He says it this way, I have been sent to preach the gospel. The gospel is a word that we get in our English that simply means good news. And you need to know that the gospel of Jesus Christ is good news. You want to see what it is? I was going to leave this out just because of time, but I think you need to see it. Turn with me very quickly over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. From the first chapter of the book, turn to the next to the last chapter of the book and those opening verses that are there. I mean, you haven't gotten there yet, but I've not gotten exactly my point. But verse number 1 says this, Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand. The context of the beginning of chapter 15 is the gospel of Christ. When you skip down to verse number 3, you're going to find out that He's going to identify for you what the gospel is. The gospel is good news. It's not just a Bible story. The gospel of good news is not just a story about God. The gospel as good news is specifically these three things. Notice them with me. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received. And here it is, number one, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And two, that He was buried. And three, that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. That is the gospel. That is the galvanized, not reanimated. He was resurrected, came back to life again, and that's the surety that we know that this gospel is good news. And secondly, that the message of the cross is not only good news, but it is genuine news. It's genuine news. It's true. It's not pie in the sky by and by. You see, some of these begin to think this is too much. It's too good to be true. In verse 18, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. There's some that would suggest that it's not true, that Jesus did not come to this earth, that Jesus did not die on the cross. Next week, we're going to be talking an awful lot about the beginning of our nation. We're going to talk some about our very first president. Did you know that in historical records outside of the scriptures, that there's more evidence that Jesus lived and died and was resurrected than there is that George Washington ever lived? This message we preach is not simply to make you feel better. This message is not just simply to give you comfort. This message is not to give you a failing hope. This message of the cross, this good news, is genuine news. I love the aspect there in John chapter 14 when Jesus is talking to his disciples and he says, one of these days I'm coming back for you. He begins it this way. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions or many dwelling places. And then the very next phrase, he says this, if it were not so, I would have told you. Did you know that Jesus will not allow you to believe something that's false just because it makes you feel better? Our world does. Our world does. Sometimes our parents do. Sometimes our grandparents do. We allow people to believe things that are not true simply because it makes them feel better. Jesus said, if these things were not so, I would have told you. And what he has told us is this same message of the cross, this good news, is genuine news. You can count on the gospel as much as you can count on Christ. You can count on him every time. The message of the cross is good news. The message of the cross is genuine news. The message of the cross is gripping news. It's gripping news. There's no story quite like it. Back several years ago, there was an article that was published in the Arizona Republic concerning a man who had become known as the Baseline Killer. He was responsible for 34 random shootings, 34 random murders in a one-year period. The article was titled, Serial Killer Stories Grip the Public. And in that article, the author quotes a man by the name of Robert Thompson, who's a professor at Syracuse. And the professor at Syracuse said this, once you hear a story like that, you're not going to forget it. Nothing makes an impression like the story of a serial killer. I'm going to tell you something. There is something that makes a greater impression. Something that is more gripping than that of a serial killer. Than that of a person who randomly takes life. It's the one who systematically gives life. The one who gives eternal life. The one who gives abundant life. The one who gives real life. The one who gives first life. The one who gives last life. That is the gripping story. Listen, this is what makes it so compelling. This is what makes it so gripping. God does not need to save us. He can allow us to live out our own sinfulness, just as it says in Romans 1. He can turn us over to a debased mind and allow those consequences to simply to inspire people. It's not simply to educate people. It's not simply to illuminate people. It's not simply to take time from people. It is to bring about transitional change. Not transitional, transformation. To bring about the transformational change that Christ can bring to a person when he says that we are created into a whole new creature. We become new creatures in Christ. I want you to notice a few things with me as we go through the rest of this passage together, which really is the abundance of it. It is the response. Paul is talking about the response of different groups of folks, and you see the way that people respond to the message of the cross. For example, for one, some people will reject the message of the cross. They will. He mentions them in verse number 18, the ones who are perishing. He says that they'll think it's foolishness. And then he asks this. He asks those questions there in verse 20. He finishes with this question. Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? It's not just about finding wisdom, but he mentions that that's one of the things that people seek. He had mentioned in verse number 18 that the gospel is the power of God. Paul mentions that to the Romans as well. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God and the salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It is the power of God. Well, if you skip down to verse number 22 for just a moment, you get to see that he puts in a nutshell that there are people who are looking for different things, not knowing that the real answer to all of their inquiries are Christ. The answer to all of their problems are the message of the cross. He says the Jews are looking for a sign. They're looking for something. They're looking for some kind of a sign. They're looking for a sign concerning the Messiah when he came because of Daniel in Persia. He had the Persians ready. They were ready. They were watching the sky because God said, I will send you a sign. I'm going to plant a star. A brand new star in the heavens. When you see it, you'll know that the Messiah has been born. And those magi from way far off, not the Jews, they weren't looking for it. They said they were looking for a sign, but they weren't even looking for that sign. But others found it. And he said this, I will give a sign to you. A babe will be born of a virgin. And she will wrap him in swaddling cloths and lie in a manger. You go into the city and you find him. The Bible says that those magi found him exactly as he was. The Jews said that they were looking for a sign. But every time that they give him a sign, they never paid attention. In Jesus' ministry, the Jewish people came to him and said, we'll believe that you're the Messiah if you will just give us a sign. And Jesus, I guess kind of like we do somewhat, having had enough, he said, I'm not going to give you a sign except for one, give you the sign of Jonah. In the same way that Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. Even so, the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and 3 nights. The resurrection is the sign that they were looking for. The resurrection is the good news. The resurrection is the part of the message of the cross. The very signs that the Jews say that they were seeking, they're not looking for the sign. He sent them the sign. People today are looking for a sign somewhere. They want some kind of sign that God exists. He has given them the sign, and the sign is the Word of God. We say that we're looking for a sign. If God will just do fill in the blank, then I will, whatever. How many times have you played that game? Maybe God comes through. Did you fulfill that promise? More often than not, we don't. God's not about negotiating. He's not trying to do you a favor so you'll do him some kind of favor by believing in him. He calls on us to believe in him. To believe in him with all of our heart. To love him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, with all of our mind. We're commanded says to the Greeks, they thought it to be foolishness. Foolishness. It's the word that we get our word moron from. Insert your own joke there. All right? But what they're saying is this. It is moronic to think about God coming down from heaven. It is moronic to think that he would give his life for somebody else. Would you do that? Paul even refers to that in Romans chapter 8 when he says this. Would anyone die for a good man? Would anyone die for a just man? He says this. God demonstrates his own love toward us. In that while we were still sinners, that Christ died for us. The Greeks looked at that and said, that is foolishness. Utter, utter foolishness from the people who brought us Zeus, Hercules, Olympia. It's foolishness. And so they ridiculed it. That's the day that we live in, isn't it? We live in a day where Christ, the cross, the things that belong to him, the scriptures, those things are ridiculed. They're considered foolish. They're considered ancient. They're considered backwoods. They're considered anything but true. Some people reject the message of the cross. Some people ridicule the message of the cross. But thanks be to God, some will receive the message of the cross. Some will. He says, for the Jews who reject him, he's a stumbling block. To the Greeks who ridicule him, he is foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Americans and Africans, blacks, whites, does not matter. To those who are called, Christ is the power of God, and he is the wisdom of God. Did you notice this? He is the power of God. He is the sign that the Jews were looking for. God provided everything they needed in the person of Christ. They rejected him. Did you notice this? He is not only the power of God, he is the wisdom of God. He is the wisdom the Greeks were looking for, and yet they ridiculed him. Don't get caught up in the world. Don't get caught up in the broad path. Don't get caught up in the way in which many will go. But you find the straight and narrow, the way that few will find, the one way, the only way that leads to real life. You can receive it. The Bible says, whosoever will may come unto him, and whoever comes unto him, he will not reject, he will not cast them aside. You're one that says, now, Tim, you don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've been thinking. That doesn't matter, does it? He's not going to reject you. Yeah, but other people have rejected me. Church people have rejected me. They're not Christ. He would know